You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, I'm former Buffalo Bills wide receiver Don Beebe, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circling the Wagons podcast on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. Because nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo. Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna
shout. Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times, here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hello, everyone. The Buffalo Bills are AFC East champions for the first time in 25 years, and it feels so good.
Crushing all your enemies, achieving all your goals, setting the world right, knowing your legacy is secure. You're like, I can just lay in this bed and just fade. Oh, this is awesome. I won!
So good. Everyone, welcome to this recap episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and we're going to discuss the Bills' 48-19 win over the Broncos today. We'll go over our thoughts on the game, some stats of the game, our plays of the game, and some Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers with some help from our amazing followers on Twitter. And we're also going to do our weekly podcast giveaway, so stay tuned for that. But we're really going to spend a lot of time just discussing the Bills' winning the AFC East for the first time in 25 years. It just, you know, it feels good. I put some questions out on Twitter. I'm going to read some of the responses to that. We're going to go over a lot of the responses that you guys have posted on Twitter. So appreciate that. So I'm joined as always by my co-hosts, John and Mike. And fellas, this is, the game went as pretty much as it was expected to go. I mean, you had the 10-3 Bills playing against the 5-8 Broncos. The Broncos riddled with injuries. They're not really that good of a team to begin with. And the Bills did exactly what they should do to a team that is struggling like the Broncos. They came in and they kicked some butt and they pretty much didn't let their foot off the gas and they beat them pretty handily by almost 30 points. You know, we'll get into the game a lot, but I think, you know, the real discussion is the Bills winning the AFC East and how long it's been. Where everyone was at that point the last time that, you know, the Bills have won it. It's been so long. We all have, I don't know if we have memories of winning it necessarily, because at that time it was kind of commonplace for the Bills to win the division, but I want to discuss that a little bit. But again, just real quick going into the game, Josh Allen having an amazing game, Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, third and Cole Beasley crushing it. Everyone just, the defense showed up. The defense looks really good. The Bills were riddled with penalties and bad calls by the officiating crew, but it did not matter whatsoever. Bills win by almost 30 points. And the Bills are at the top of the AFC East. And I don't know, man, it's hard to come. John, what did you think about today's win, and then, you know, moreover, the Bills winning the AFC East?
Yeah, so I agree. I mean, it seemed like I had no worries whatsoever about this game. I thought they were going to win it for sure, and it seemed like no matter what happened, they were going to win the East this year at this point. All they had to do was win one of their last three games or Miami losing one of the last three games. So the percentages were super high. It is pretty crazy. I mean, 1995, I was 13 years old. I remember...
John, why don't you just give out your social security number too? Jeez.
John, what's your mother's maiden name? What was the first pet you owned?
I have a beef with that pet question because, right, if you have any age to you, your pet maybe is no longer with you, and it's always freaking depressing. Is it not?
Yeah. Remember that dog?
It's like, you're, oh, I'm going to go in and check my, I'm hoping I'm not overdrawn on my bank account. Oh, here's another kick in the balls. Like, oh, my dead pet.
Oh, remember that dog that was with you ever since you were born until you were 9 years old and then passed
your
away?
Your best friend.
Your best friend. You told him that you were going to take him to college with you. Remember that dog? Yeah. He's gone. Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead, John.
I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah. No, so I remember the Super Bowl years. So like, and I remember like thinking, you know, you getting so used to it, right? Oh, okay. They lost the fourth one. You know what? They're going to come back the next year. They're going to win the fifth one. And obviously they missed the playoffs. So I do remember them making it the year after and winning the division. But like now, like, I mean, going through the whole playoff drought and everything else, like, totally different perspective from when I was growing up. This is really, really huge. I almost can't even put it into words. And like, just having Josh Allen and McDermott and Brandon Bean, and both Bean and McDermott getting extended this year is great. They've made the playoffs three of the last 4 years. It's just mind-boggling, like that they're in this position and they're doing it. I'm just speechless.
Yeah. No, I think you put it well. Mike, what about you?
Listening to John, I agree 100%. It makes me just like, as you really think about it, it makes me think of the Thomas Paine quote, what we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly, and it's dearness only that gives things its value. Like when I was growing up, it was our birthright to be AFC champions, to go to the Super Bowl. Like, so when, you just didn't appreciate it. Now, not having it for 25 years, like, this is 2020 is the greatest year ever, Nate. Like,
yeah.
It's just, it's completely different. I'm lost for words.
We were like, what John and you just said, growing up as kids, going through this time as Bills fans, we were like trust fund kids for like a good 6, 7, 8 year stretch. And then it was like, after that happened, it was just like somehow like either our grandparents like left this stipulation in the trust fund saying like we either partied too much in college and then we had it yanked out from underneath us. And then we had to get like normal regular jobs the last 25 years. And then there's like we finally like found some other stipulation where we got back into the good graces of our deceased grandparents or something, and that we finally are back there. And we're just like, oh, I missed this. I missed being rich. I forgot what it was like. We've been dirt poor for so long. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah.
Money cannot solve all your problems, but it can solve all your money problems.
Well put, Mike. That was better than your Thomas Paine quote.
Now football's amazing. Like I used to, like we'd watch every game, but you'd be like, oh man, we're gonna be depressed after this. Why are we doing it to ourselves?
I as a kid, I broke a tennis racket after a Bills loss because I was like, I was playing in my driveway and I was just like so angry. I was hitting the ball and then I missed a shot and I just freaking slammed my racket on the ground. Like the Bills have cost me money for undue circumstances and how much. Yeah, I mentioned like at the very top, like penalties and, you know, officiating mishaps from the NFL for the referees today. And if this was a normal game, like the Bills would be out of it. Like, oh, it was second and 10 and now it's second and 20. Like, forget it. Like, just either dial up a punt or a long field goal or whatever, like, or turnover on downs. This is not going to happen. And like, that didn't even matter. They still won by almost 30 points. It didn't even phase the Bills as a team and didn't change the outcome whatsoever. So I put on Twitter, I want to read this. I mentioned on Twitter, you know, what does this mean? What does this win and the AFC division win, the championship, really, what does that mean to you personally? Some have never seen the Bills win the division. Some were much younger. What does it mean to you? So I'm going to read some of the comments that you guys have written to us over Twitter. If you're not following us, please do. We're at CTW Pod, like Circling the Wagons Pod. The Josh Allen Stan account writes, means everything. I've only seen the Bills suck. Been waiting for this moment my whole life. You know, we mentioned being kids and going through this time frame where we were just like so used to the Bills winning. It almost reminds me of like this Bill Burr comedy sketch where he talks about like having a dog and like when you're and having a dog as an adult versus having one as a kid. And he talks about like, you know, as a kid, like everything's amazing. Like you don't have to pay for anything. No one's cheated on you. Like everything's amazing as a kid. And then as an adult, you know, you've had all these bad things. You've been fired, you know, this and that. You're, and then, you know, when your dog comes home to see you, you know, it's wagging its tail and it's so happy to see you. He's like, you can't appreciate that till you're an adult and you've actually lived through things. And I think that's true for, you know, a lot of these fans that like, some haven't seen the Bills actually be good. We've been spoiled because we saw it as kids. And like there's a lot of our listeners that are 25 years or younger, or obviously don't remember when they were 1 year old, how the Bills were doing. And this is the best that the Bills have ever been. And it's kind of cool to see that. Tom McArdle writes, I became a Bills fan after moving to the Rochester area in 2005. I had been in North Carolina for 11 years, grew up in South Jersey. After they lost to the Steelers backups in early 2005 to miss the playoffs, I was hooked. I could identify. I love this area, this fan base, and this team. Interesting. That's cool. It's funny that
that was so depressing. You remember that?
If that was your first game as a Bills fan, like that sucks. All they needed to do was to beat the Steelers backups to make the playoffs. That was actually a very depressing, that was a very frustrating part as a Bills fan for me. It made me actually consider not staying a fan. No.
It's like, oh, we're playing Tommy Maddox? Like, we've got this. This is a lock.
Who was their running back? Willie, oh, man, he was a nobody until that game. And then he became one of the best running backs in the NFL after that. Oh, man. Fast Willie Parker? No, I can't remember. Primetime Hanover writes, it's the first time in my life I was barely a twinkle in my dad's sack the last time the Bills won the division.
I think you're a twinkle in the eye, like an itch in the...
itch in the sack. A tingle? A tingle? A numbness? No, that's... that's funny.
A gleam in the eye, maybe. A gleam?
Gleam in the eye?
Gleam?
A twinkle in my dad's sack.
No,
a
twinkle in the eye. Sounds
twinkle
good.
In the eye, yeah. Dave Thorpe writes, was 23 in 95, been a long and painful road to get back, but in a year of pretty much pure shit everywhere, this team is a shining light. Trust the process, a little corny, but I don't give a fuck. Makes me proud again. Makes me feel proud again. Beauty is there's still plenty more to come. We're back, baby. Go Bills. It's crazy. Like John mentioned about Bean and McDermott getting extended. You know Josh Allen is going to get the franchise tag and extended as well. I mean, Josh Allen is only 24 years old. He is this good, and he's only 24 years old. I mean, think about how long quarterbacks stay good for. I mean, he could be playing in his 35, 36, 37. Could he be a 40-year-old playing like Tom Brady, 42? I mean, who knows?
Plus, he's improved substantially year to year. Like, what if he improves that much more in his fourth year or his fifth year? Like when is his peak going to be?
What if this is his floor? His ceiling could be, yeah. We're going to go into some stats of the game, but there's some really cool stats about Josh Allen out there. Rob Zach writes, after this dumpster fire of a year, it means a lot. I was in middle school last time, far too long. That's about John's age, apparently, according to what he told us about that. That was a good, I like how people are saying how crappy 2020 is, because this was like, imagine being a Jets fan. Like the year already sucks in general because of COVID-19, and then added on top of it the fact that your entire organization is a dumpster fire from the top down. Like, we are in the best possible situation as fans of a team. Everything's trending up. You know, I'd say the only people that are even close to that are possibly like the Chiefs with Mahomes, right? I mean, because you know Mahomes is going to last almost as long as Allen does because of their age. It's like this is an exciting time, man.
Wouldn't it be funny once the Jets lock up the number one pick, Trevor Lawrence decides to go back for another year?
Could he pull like an Eli Manning where he decides he will not go to the New York Jets and gets traded to somewhere else outside the division?
He could. It's not unprecedented. Elway did it. Bo Jackson did it.
Nicholas Barnsdale writes, I haven't seen it in my lifetime. This is vindicating. I've only been through the rough times, waiting for the good ones. Finally, we're here. This is the team I've been waiting for. Yeah, well put. Well put. This definitely vindicating. I mean, think about all the times, like, growing up that you took crap for being a Bills fan. Like, I mean, just from almost everyone, really. It was like the response, like, you could never talk trash as a Bills fan because your team was 6-10 or 7-9. Can't really trash talk if you're getting a top 10 pick in the draft.
You know what's sad? Even during the Super Bowl years, we took a lot of shit.
Yes, we did.
Remember the whole "Boy, I Love Losing Super Bowls" acronym? Like,
yeah,
it was terrible.
We've never not taken shit as Bills fans, even when the Bills have been the best team in the AFC four times straight. Philip Masterson writes, "I'm in tears. I'm so happy. I've never seen this in my life. I wish my grandpa, who got me into Bills football, was here to see this." You know, there's a lot of, I'm sure a lot of Bills fans are thinking about that with either family members or friends that they've lost over the years that never got a chance to see the Bills be this good, you know, first ending the drought and then, you know, being 11-3 and being in potentially a really good seed in the playoffs. I'm sure a lot of people, I mean, I think about my grandfather, who's one of the reasons why I'm a Bills fan. My mother, who is not tech savvy whatsoever, has been emailing me like once a week, you know, telling me how happy she is for the team and how happy she is to see this. It's good. You know, I hope she gets to see one soon. So, yeah.
Can't you get her texting?
No, she just got an email like a year ago. So I think texting is like, I think she only got a smartphone because she had to. They literally don't make like non-smartphones anymore. So she's like, I don't know what to do with this. Or either that or like she's literally like as savvy as like an IT person. She just doesn't want anybody bothering her all the time. She might be that way too. I wouldn't put it past her. Perks writes, stay positive, stay loyal. Never give up on the Buffalo Bills. Good thing will come out. Good thing will come out way. I don't know what that last means. But been a Bills fan since we drafted OJ. I have seen a lot. Go Bills. We are not done. If he was there alive to watch the Bills draft OJ, when they draft OJ 1972, I think. So like if he was at least 4 or 5 or 6 years old then, I mean, he's 60 years old now. Almost, right? No, 50? 50 something? Yeah, so Perks has been through a lot, that's for sure. Haley K writes, I finally get to see them win the division, and I hope to see them go to the Super Bowl. My dad lives it because he was there during the Jim Kelly era. Jake Mike writes, I didn't think I'd have to wait until I turned 24 to see this happen, but goddamn is it well worth the wait. My first Bills game was Bledsoe's first game. If you remember, they lost in overtime on a kick return. That should have been a sign. but damn, this makes all that worth it. Absolutely. Credit to all Bills fans that are like under the age of like 26 or 27 that have never seen, that didn't just become a Bills fan like the last few years. Like, just think about it. If you've been a Bills fan since you were born and you're 24 right now, like all you've known is awfulness. Like you're like the epitome of an actual fan. Like at least
you have to subtract some. Like you don't really know anything until you're, what would you say, 5, 6, 7?
Maybe, yeah, yeah.
Really, I would say 10 or 12. Like,
so he's only gone through like 12 or 13 years worth of. Right. It's not that bad.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Get over it, Jake.
I wouldn't take somebody to Disney when they're 4.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, we've talked about this. Yeah, my oldest is 5. We've talked about going to Disney. Like, should we even do it? Like, he's not going to remember it.
Just flush your money down the toilet.
If you're going at that point, and I'm sure a lot of people do, you're really going for yourself. Like, no parent is like, I hate Disney, but I'm going to do it for my 4-year-old or 5-year-old. They're like, I love Disney, and they might get something out of it. Maybe. Taryn Bauer writes, The first thing I did when the clock hit zero was call my mother. The Bills are family, and this is a reason to celebrate with family. This is the best the Bills have been in my lifetime, and it brings a grin to my face like no other. Hashtag Bills Mafia. Kevin Kaiser writes, this is amazing. It feels good to feel good about my team. I think we have our QB for the next 15 years, and that is bananas. Now let's go get some playoff wins. Absolutely. Trey writes, I'm 28. This is the first Bills team I can remember watching that is genuinely good. Lived in Texas my whole life. Dad is from Buffalo. Always got weird looks in public wearing my Bills hat. I've always worn it proudly. But now? Question mark. Absolutely. Well, I hope now you continue to wear it proudly, I guess. I think he means that.
What's the opposite? Or what, like...
Wearing it, like, timidly? Nobody look at me.
I mean, he's just going to get up in people's faces now.
That would be awesome. Trey is over, like, at people in the grocery store. They're kind of like, oh, yeah. Hey. It's like, yeah, that's right. AFC champs, bitch. AFC East champs. Like, oh, I was just going to say, nice hat. Private Joker 2003 writes, I've been a Marine for 18 years. Since leaving for boot camp, many things have changed in my life. I've grown farther apart from old friends who have started their own families. Meanwhile, I've rotated to different duty stations around the world every 3 years. My Bills passion is one of the primary things that preserves my Rochester, New York roots. It's an emotional bridge between my childhood and my life as a middle-aged Marine nearing retirement. My hope for a Bills resurgence is something that returns me to a simpler time. Finally winning the AFC East again feels like the sequel we've awaited for years. The resumption of unfinished business from 2 decades ago. There's a dormant spirit that never left Orchard Park, and it has fully reawakened. Wow. Great. Thank you, Private Joker 2003, for your service. Appreciate you and everyone listening that has served our military. And yeah, well put. SJ writes, she said, my diehard daughter gets to experience what I did back in the day. Yeah. I think a lot of parents are starting to feel that about their younger children. They're just now getting to experience some good times. Live, love, bark, Buffalo Bills writes, I've been through it all. The 4 Super Bowls, Doug Flutie, the Music City Miracle, the drought, all of it. I never stopped loving my Bills, and I am beside myself happy right now. I'd say this feeling is only second to the Bills ending the playoff drought, honestly. And then I think that the only feeling that's going to top that is when the Bills finally win a playoff game, which is that drought is 25 years. I mean, you think about it, the Bills, the first one was the ending the playoff drought. Second one was winning the division. Now the last one would be winning a playoff game. And they've got to actually just have a new design up on TeePublic. It's just like the Buffalo Bills checklist, which is the check is on the ending the drought. The next check is on winning the division. And then the third check is win it all. So that's the last one we have to do as Bills fans, besides winning a playoff game. The Bills got...
I feel like, can people like check their own shirt? Or do you want them to buy like at each step?
At each step. I really should have added like 5 more steps. Win a playoff game. Win a playoff game against a team beginning with the letter H. win a
Super Bowl. Like if I had that shirt, I would just fill in the box myself.
You would want to, right?
Yeah.
Like you'd want, are you saying you'd want a completely blank shirt with like a bunch of check boxes, then you mark them off yourself after every
victory? Right now, say it's up there right now and it's like win the division. Now you have a check mark. Well, there's other boxes under there, right? That say like, win a playoff game, win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to buy a whole new shirt just so you can fill in a check mark. what a scam.
It's like putting duct tape on the back of the jersey who a player with a different number that's wearing now, right? Same thing. Just put a duct tape check mark.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I figured that I wasn't going to, but that is a good idea. I wasn't going to release a new shirt if the Bills win the Super Bowl and that, but maybe I will. Win it all. Checkmark. Now you have to buy the 3 checkmark shirt. All the boxes filled in. Then I'll have like, but then I'll create another one underneath it. There'll always be one underneath it. The next one will be like, win a Super Bowl twice. Win a Super Bowl 3 times. Become a dynasty. Better than the New England Patriots. The Bills God writes, it's funny, I think his original handle was Bills God, but after I called him the Bills God, he's like, I had to change I had to change my handle. So he wrote, "The Bills God, I was a fetus the last time the Bills won the division. I am one day older than Josh Allen." Funny, Josh Allen broke a division title drought that he wasn't even alive for. Like, yeah, that's crazy. So obviously neither is the Bills God. He writes, "This win has me feeling like Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands. Even though I live in Rochester, I had to constantly defend my fandom for the Bills." That's so true. We live in the Rochester area as well. And yeah, there's a lot of other fans of different teams in this area. He writes, "We were known for being the pinnacle of mediocrity for the vast majority of my life. Seeing the people that are around my age specifically are the ones that are helping turn this team around is the best feeling I've ever had, and is exactly what my dad felt 30 years ago. I don't know what else to say. I'm just insanely happy right now." Well put. There's not much else to say. I think you said it all there. The Bills God. Courtney Orgasmo writes, "I was (16 months old) the last time the Bills won the division. This is a game I'll be telling my future kids about. Hashtag Bills Mafia. Hashtag Bills by a billion." All right. All right. Thank you guys for sharing those sentiments. Let's go into our stats of the game in today's win.
Stats of the game.
They've done studies, 60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Well, people can come up with statistics to prove anything, Kent. 40% of all people know that.
John, you had some pretty interesting stats. You want to lead this this segment off with your stats from today's game?
Yes, so Stephon Diggs is now number one in franchise history for receptions in a season, 111. Previous record, Eric Mould's at 100, and Diggs still has a couple games left to play. He's also third in receiving yards behind a couple of Mould's seasons, but he's only 55 yards away for being number one. Trivia question for you. Who is the Bills franchise single season leader in touchdown receptions? And I'll even give you the year, 1995, which was the last year the Bills won the division.
So what was it? Touchdowns? The last leading receiver?
Yes. Bills all-time receiving leader for a single season in touchdowns.
How many was it, or who was it? It was who was it, right?
Who was it? I'll give you, it was 11, and it was in 1995. The last time the Bills won the division.
Well, you just mentioned Moulds, like, and I don't think Moulds was there then. No, he wasn't. He wasn't drafted then.
Correct.
I was going to say Lee. Obviously, Lee Evans wasn't there. It's got to be. Could it be Andre Reed? Would that be?
It could be, but it wasn't.
That wasn't my answer. I was just asked. I was putting it up there hypothetically. Mike, you want to go? Don Beebe?
It's for me. It's between Lofton and Beebe.
Oh, John's shaking his head. No, jeez.
I don't know.
Who the heck else was there that type? Lofton, Beebe.
John can barely remember what I had for lunch yesterday. Sounds like 1995.
Thank you for giving me the year. That did not help as much as I had hoped. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know if I can give you too many hints other than Reed only started six games that year. I think he had an injury, so that takes him out of the equation. They had a couple young guys, a young tight end. They had a veteran receiver on the team that did not start his career with the Bills, but started his career with a team in the division.
Oh, was it like Billy Brooks or something? No, no.
Yes.
Was it?
Yes.
Wow. Yep. That is crazy that he has the record for his season, and that was probably his only season with the Bills.
No, he was there for like 3 years.
Oh, was he? Okay. Okay. What was his record? How many touchdowns?
It was 11 touchdowns.
Okay. Gotcha.
11.
All right.
There were a bunch of guys that had 10, but he had 11.
Dude, those were some good stats. You have any more for us, or Is that where we leave off?
I think that's where we leave off. I did see the stat on Twitter that the Bills have broke some record for touchdown passes to 13 different receivers this year. That's pretty cool. That's good.
Dude, that is so nice to see. I mean, if you think about longevity of a quarterback, like, think about some stats of, like, some quarterbacks when they don't have, like, Matt Stafford after Calvin Johnson left. Like, I don't know if he was as good of a quarterback. Like, you lose your best wide receiver, and sometimes that's debilitating for quarterbacks. And with Josh Allen, he just finds a way to get everyone involved. Like, that's what good quarterbacks do. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has, like, I feel like he has a Pro Bowl wide receiver every year. Or like Ben Roethlisberger, like before Juju Smith-Schuster, it was Antonio Brown. Before Antonio Brown, it was Hines Ward. Before Hines Ward, you know, like they always have like these good wide receivers that these, because these good quarterbacks make these wide receivers good. You know what I mean? Like before Devontae Adams, for Aaron Rodgers, it was Jordy Nelson. Before Jordy Nelson, it was Greg Jennings. You know, like all those guys. That speaks to, hopefully, to how good Josh Allen is. Speaking of Josh Allen was 28 for 40 today, 359 yards and two touchdowns passing and two touchdowns rushing. So four touchdowns in all for Josh Allen today. His completion percentage, again, exactly 70%. So another great game by Josh Allen. Zach Moss, on 13 carries, he had 81 yards, 6.2 yards per carry. Devin Singletary, 8 carries for 68 yards and 1 touchdown, 8.5 yards per carry. Of course, those were greatly exaggerated by that 51-yard touchdown run in garbage time that he had, which was amazing. That was a great play by Devin Singletary. Did not see that coming, honestly, and he broke one off. Josh Allen had 3 carries for 33 yards and 2 touchdowns. So Josh had a good day with only 3 rushes today. So now we're going into the receiving. This is where it gets nice and juicy. Stephon Diggs, 11 receptions on 13 targets, 147 yards. Cole Beasley, 3rd and Cole Beasley, 8 receptions on 10 targets for 112 yards. He did have 2 third down receptions today. So continuing with 3rd and Cole. And appreciate everyone who tweets at me, and like I literally don't have to say anything. Like sometimes I'll miss a play because I'm either writing notes or, you know, I'm doing something around the house, and people like tweet me 3rd and Cole, and I love it. Keep doing it. I did write on Twitter too. I wrote after the second third down, I wrote finish this sentence, 3rd and like 20 of you write Cole, and then one of you wrote, I'm not giving you what you want. And then that was the only tweet that John's ever liked of anything that's been written about us from his own personal burner account. It's the only thing was like, because John hates the nickname. So fair enough, John. But I did write to her. I think it was Beanie. I did say, hey, but did you think about 3rd and Cole when it happened? And she wrote no comment. So I like to think that you still thought about it, even if you didn't like it.
It's because you're drilling it into everybody's heads. Think about our kids watching those TV shows over and over and over again. Of course, you're going to keep thinking about it because it's over and over and over again.
It's like the theme song to like Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. All of a sudden, it's 3rd and Cole, 3rd and Cole, 3rd and Cole. I just need a song now, you know?
But it's almost ironic because he does not get that many passes on 3rd down.
Yeah.
But he has like a flowing, luxurious mane in every shot. But whatever.
You know, if it makes you feel any better, somebody did write Beastly, Mike, which I think was yours. Some people have written to me they like Coldilocks better than 3rd and Cole. Respectfully, those people are wrong, but they have said that. So it's not, you know, and I only hear from the people that like it for the most part. Some people have converted. Some people said, I didn't like it at first, and now I can't stop thinking about it. And then some people were just like, this is terrible. You don't hear so much from those people. That don't like it as much, but I don't necessarily want to hear from those people. So don't feel like you have to reach out. It's okay.
But John hit the nail on the head, right? Like it's just a psychological phenomenon. The more you're exposed to something, the more you like it. Remember the Seinfeld episode where George always had to leave something at the girl's apartment on the first date so he could come back and pick it up for the second date? And that overexposure, the person was like, oh, I guess I kind of like him. Like a little jingle.
Costanza.
See, yeah, exactly. So you're constantly third and goal. Like, it over exaggerates that in people's heads, I think. But anyway, for Goldilocks, he already set his career high in yards, already set his career high in receptions, and he's just 50 yards for his first 1,000-yard season. So it's awesome to see, right, like that he's having a lot of success. And the Bills haven't had 2,000-yard receivers since Mold and Peerless Price in 2002.
Wow. That'd be good. That'd be good to see for once. Third and Cole. Like that. It would actually be better if it was
That's the only way you could make it more catchy, yeah.
Cole Beasley. it's third and Cole. I'm like, so you're saying like I'm the George Costanza? How did George Costanza end up with the best looking women? How did that, I feel like him and Jerry both just like really outkick their coverage in like every episode? Terry Hatcher, like some really stunning women from the 90s.
Who all went on to have tremendous success as actresses.
So funny. Dawson Knox, the next leading receiver, 2 receptions on 4 targets for 36 yards and a touchdown. Dawson Knox is starting to get in my good graces. Still has to do a lot. He's on his way. He's getting slightly better. This is a step in the right direction. We need a lot more of this, Dawson. We need a lot more. But two touchdowns in 2 weeks. Jake Kumerow, which people have labeled as who just got elevated from the practice squad to the active roster. Jake Kumerow, 1 reception, 1 target, 1 touchdown for 22 yards. People have labeled him Touchdown Jesus. And yeah, that's cool to see. Gabriel Davis, 2 receptions on 5 targets for 18 yards. Devin Singletary, 3 receptions on 3 targets for 16 yards. You know, Zach Moss getting a lot more carries than Devin Singletary the last few weeks. But Devin Singletary still significant in the passing game. So part of me wonders if, I know they've included Zach Moss, maybe Devin Singletary starts to, you know, less carries, but makes up for it in receptions. As far as the Bills go turnover wise, Andre Roberts had that 1 muffed punt. So he had 1 fumble, 1 loss. And yeah, we're going to go into the defensive side of the ball. Jerry Hughes, well, Tre'Davious White had that sack and then that forced fumble that turned into a Jerry Hughes fumble recovery that turned into a touchdown. Josh Allen had a fumble, but it was not lost. So Trey White had a sack on today. Mario Addison had a sack, and Ed Oliver had a sack. That was a manly sack by Ed Oliver. He just took him and just threw Drew Locke to the ground. And I was worried that he might get a penalty for it because of how violently he tossed him around. But luckily it didn't matter.
They had 2 offensive linemen on him too.
Oh, really? Wow. 2 offensive linemen blocking him? Wow. Tyler Bass was 2 for 2 today for field goals, 6 for 6 for extra points. So a great game by Tyler Bass. And Corey Bohorquez, 1 punt today for 63 yards. Wow. Joe Biscaglia was tweeting about that. It was like a 5.5 second hang time or something. Pretty cool. And then Andre Roberts, I think he made up for it after that muff punt because he had a really good return to open up the second half where he got down to like the Denver 45-yard line. So not upset about Andre Roberts. He was going to – we'll get into Wall of Shame later, but he does not make it for me. On the Broncos side of the ball –
So you mentioned hang
– Yep.
Sorry, you mentioned hang time. Do you remember like back in the day they would actually like on the TV they would have the hang time seconds in the bottom corner?
Yeah.
Like why don't they do that anymore?
I don't know who's upset about there being the hang time. I think that's awesome, right?
That's like a significant stat too, right? Like to have like not just a long punt, because if you can kick it long, but if it's a line drive, they have all day to return.
Yeah, hang time is very important for depth of a kick, and yeah, hang time for sure. Absolutely. Like you could drill a 1 second 60-yard punt, and then the guy takes it and returns it 40 yards before you guys even can even get downfield.
Right.
Yeah. On the Broncos side of the ball, we're going to go through this quickly. Drew Locke, 20 for 32, 132 yards, 1 touchdown. Not a very good day by the young quarterback. By the way, if you're a Bills fan, man, how much better, how happy are you that the Broncos passed up on Josh Allen for Bradley Chubb? Now, Bradley Chubb was supposed to be like the second coming of Von Miller when he came out, but, you know, they had Case Keenum at the time as a veteran quarterback. They're like, oh, well, we'll draft someone like in the second or third round or something. you know, next year, but this year we'll take the defensive end and we'll just roll with our veteran quarterback. Case Keenum's, I don't even know if Case Keenum's in the league anymore. And I mean, if you take between quarterback and pass rusher, you take quarterback every single time. Melvin Gordon, 11 carries for 61 yards, two touchdowns. Melvin Gordon had 5.5 yards per carry. Philip Lindsay had 11 carries for 38 yards, 3.5 yards per carry. And Noah Fant was the leading receiver for the Broncos, 8 receptions on 11 targets for 68 yards and a touchdown. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. After we get back, we're going to do our Sweet Sassy Molassy plays of the game, our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers, so stick around.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, welcome back to Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. This is our recap show, and I'm your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm with my co-hosts, John and Mike. There are a few cool stats I forgot to get to before the break. Josh Allen trails Drew Bledsoe by 359 yards for the most in team history. Diggs trails Eric Moulds by 54 yards for the most in team history. Josh, so this was a cool thing from CBS Sports HQ. Josh Allen has just joined a very exclusive club. Players with 30 passing touchdowns and 8 rushing touchdowns in a season. Josh Allen 2020 and Cam Newton 2015. Those are the only people in history that have had 30 passing touchdowns and 8 rushing touchdowns in a season. Cam won the MVP that season. So what does that say about Josh Allen? Hashtag Bills Mafia. So that was pretty cool to see. Now on to our Sweet Sassy Molassy plays of the game.
Sweet Sassy Molassy, get out the checkbook and pay Grandma for the rubdown.
Our Sweet Sassy Molassy plays the game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. John, I'll start with you. What was your Sweet Sassy Molassy play of the game in today's victory over the Broncos?
I got to go with the Trey White sack force fumble, doing his best Bruce Smith impersonation, and Jerry Hughes with the amazing return for a touchdown. Sweet Sassy Molassy.
Tre'Davious White actually tweeted after the game. He's like, you can just call me Bruce Smith Jr. That was awesome. Cool. That was a good play. Definitely good to see. That put the Bills up after they had just scored a touchdown in the third quarter with a Josh Allen 1 yard rushing touchdown. They went up 28-13. Two plays later, the Bills score again on that Trey White sack fumble. Jerry Hughes had some moves on that recovery or on that return too. That wasn't just like a straight line beat everyone that's chasing you. He had some moves on that return for a touchdown, 21-yard touchdown return to go up 35-13. Mike, what is your Sweet Sassy Molassy play of the game?
I agree 100%. That play was outstanding. At the end of the year, that should be on the Bills highlight reel. I thought I was on YouTube watching Deion Sanders or Ed Reed running one back, the way he's swimming through guys, jump cutting. At first, when he went to scoop that ball, like in my mind, I'm like, no, let the other guy pick it up. He's actually running towards the end zone. You're just going to fall over, Jerry. But man, what a turnaround from my expectation to what actually happened. I couldn't believe it. He's played 166 games. That's his second touchdown. He should be scoring one every other week with moves like that.
That's a good point. That's a good point. You're like, no, Jerry, let that that DB with 4.5 speed run it back, not you. Not this 260-pound defensive end who's just like trying to scoop it. good call. I'm actually going to go. That was a great play. That was one of my favorite plays of the game. I'm actually going to go with the play that wasn't as my sweet sassy molassy play of the game just because of its creativity alone. It was the in the second quarter, Josh Allen had a Statue of Liberty play where he basically fake, he pump faked it as if he was throwing it to like a bubble screen, and then he handed it off behind the back with his left hand to Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary runs 5 yards for a touchdown, completely, you know, untouched in the end zone. And of course, it gets called back by a holding penalty. actually, one of three penalties that would be called on that first and goal drive, where there was an offensive pass interference play on or penalty on Diggs right after that. And then there was a false start penalty. So the Bills were first and goal from the 30-yard line at the 2-minute warning. We're like, oh, great. How's this going to end? Like, they're almost out of field goal range. And then somehow, you know, Josh Allen doing Josh Allen things. He found Jay Kumro for a 22-yard touchdown pass and made the best of that that pretty rough string of penalties. But really, I thought that was a cool play.
You have a contrarian streak, man. Just to be different. You're like, oh, Nate, what's your favorite food? Like, oh, can I list a drink? Like, it's not a play, right?
Yeah. Like, have you ever met those people like that don't like things that everyone else likes? Like they don't like pizza or peanut butter or something. we have friends that don't like peanut butter, and we're like, really? Like you're not allergic, right? No, I'm not allergic. I just don't like it. I'm like, what? And then they're like super defensive about it. It's like, what? I don't like peanut butter, right? Like, oh geez, okay. Well, I'm just saying that like everyone else on earth loves peanut butter. Like it is literally one of the best foods on earth. It would be really tough not to eat. Fine, I just don't like it, okay? God, get off my back. Anyway, but no, I'm not usually contrarian. I'm usually the peanut butter lover, the pizza lover. I love all that stuff. I didn't know if we were going to bring up that play otherwise, so I had to bring it up.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes tweeted during that drive, man has three passing touchdowns on this drive somehow with some emojis.
That's right. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes tweeting that he had that's cool, showing Josh Allen some love, saying he had three touchdowns on that drive. He literally did. I forget what the other ones were off the top of my head, but he had was there a Gettysburg of the game for today's win?
Four score and 7 years ago.
A turning point? A turning point somewhere in the game?
You know, I thought it was going to be, not that I thought the Bills would lose, but boy, it changed the momentum briefly, was the Roberts muff punt. The Bills were up 14-0 and just rolling. And then to flip the field and give the ball right back to the Broncos was tough. And if I think we were all on the same page in the sense of like we still thought the Bills would win, but you don't want to see stuff like that against a team in the upper echelon of the NFL. But man, that could have been costly.
Yeah, that was close. John, what about you?
I wouldn't say there was a Gettysburg play per se. I mean, the game was, I mean, the Bills are going to win no matter what. Like before, like it's on the schedule, right? Like after, you know, 6 days before now, oh, we're playing Denver next week. Oh, it's a win. Like there's no, that was the turning point. The Bills are going to win.
There's no like Gettysburg. Like that was, it's almost like, you know, that scene in the beginning of Gladiator where the Roman Empire is facing off against these guys who are kind of like barbarians, and like the Romans have all these like really high tech weaponry and the barbarians have like
swords.
They have stones tied to sticks. And it was just like, yeah. Yeah, this isn't going to go too well for those barbarians. I don't think they're going to win this one. It's like people should know when they're being conquered, when they've been conquered.
Would you, Quintus? Would I? Of all the things you could have said, like, oh, Rome, they had the numbers, they had the dogs, the horses, like, oh, the tactics. You went with they had the technology.
The weaponry. I mean,
and
they had
all they have is swords.
They had catapults and stuff. And other things. Yeah. Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot. They didn't have cannons then. So yeah. Guns weren't invented. Yeah. yeah. I don't really have a Gettysburg of the game. That was a good one, Mike. I think the muff punt could potentially have been one because you saw them, you know, the Broncos score right away. And you're like, oh, is this, you can't help but be a Bills fan and be like, oh, is this where it, is this how it goes? Like a team that the Bills should beat. And then they give them a couple of chances to be in it. And the Bills, stood tough, and they didn't. I'm just happy that this team didn't let the AFC East division get into their minds too much and them forget to really play today and win today over before they look ahead. And they didn't. So really proud of them. The Gettysburg Play of the Game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago, just like the Sweet Sassy Molassy Plays of the Game were brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. And now let's go into our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. So let's go into our Wall of Fame first. Wall. John, who are you going to put on your Wall of Fame for today's victory over the Denver Broncos?
I go with Josh Allen. 70% completion percentage, 392 total yards, 4 touchdowns on target, and you know, Josh Allen, right?
Yes, absolutely. Mike, who's on your Wall of Fame?
Yeah, it's Josh Allen, Nate, with the passes through the air, running in 2 touchdowns. He's going to be, at the end of the season, the single-season franchise record holder for passing yards, for touchdowns. We're just feeling fortunate to have a competent and, dare we say, elite person under center for the Bills.
Ooh, dare we say it? Oh, wow. Going there already. All right.
I think he's back in the MVP conversation.
Oh, 100%. He should absolutely be in the MVP conversation. I have Josh Allen as well on my Wall of Fame for today's victory. Josh Allen had over 300 yards going into the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, he really didn't do anything. He had a couple of passes, but really he handed the ball off a lot. And then Matt Barkley took over a drive or two, and that was it. Josh Allen just continuing. You know, let me know what you guys think about this, because we've watched enough team go into the playoffs, you know, in our lives. And I think there's one of two teams that you want to be going into the playoffs. I'll tell you what you don't want to be. You don't want to be the team that gets in, either wins the division or gets in the wild card and like limps in, right? It starts off like 10-0 and then loses 3 games in a row or whatever, and then just barely wins out or whatever to either win the division or get the wild card spot. You don't want to be that team. What you want to be is either like a New England Patriots type team where you're just a Goliath all season and you rarely lose and you're really beating up on teams and you are the clear favorite, like perhaps basically like the Kansas City Chiefs this year, or you want to be the team that comes on strong in the final stretch of the season that just like lights on fire, like the Tennessee Titans like last season that made it to the AFC Championship, or like the Jacksonville Jaguars the year before that made it to the AFC Championship, or whenever it was, a couple of years ago before that. Like, you want to be that team that's just like hot at the right time. And I think that first of all, I think the Steelers might be potentially be the team that's getting, you know, cold at the right time, at the wrong time for them, right time for us. But I think the Bills might be that team that's just coming in a hot streak and finally putting everything together offensively and defensively. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you remember back with the Giants-Patriots Super Bowls, the Giants got hot at the right time. They didn't necessarily have the greatest regular season, but they strung some games together towards the end of the regular season, carried that into the playoffs. So there is something to be said for having a hot streak like that.
Do I want to? So the question is, do I want to be a Goliath or a really hot team? Like, yeah, absolutely. or a cold team that just limps in.
So yes, you want to be a good team that's either really good right now or have been good all season. Okay, all right.
Correct.
All right, way to simplify my discussion. Thank you for doing that. Next, let's go to our Wall of Shame in today's victory.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
John, who are you going to put on your wall of shame in today's win? Can you put anyone on it?
I mean, I could, but I'm not going to name a specific player. I think I just got to go with the discipline / penalties. They had 8 for 75 yards, and obviously, you know, it wasn't going to hinder them today. And even despite drives where they had multiple in a row, they still scored. But I guess a better team that might have been. So I'm just going to put there.
Penalties for John. Mike, what about you? Who's on your wall of shame for today's win? In today's win?
I think penalties are a good one. And I think another thing that stuck out to me was one of the announcers talking about the relationship between offensive coordinator Brian Daboll and Josh Allen. Did you guys catch that?
No. Bring us up to speed.
Well, if there's two things that can wreck the season for the Bills, right? COVID and then this. It's like, oh, we talked to Daboll and asked him about the relationship with Josh Allen. It's like, oh, Dable's like, oh, yeah, I consider him like a son. And then they went and talked to Allen, and Allen's like, ah, he's like my best friend. That's weird. You can't have that in a relationship where one person thinks they're the father, and the other person thinks they're best friends.
It's like they're on the same level. Well, sometimes, I mean, some people think that their dad is their best friend. You know, like, right? Like, oh, he's like my dad. He's like my best friend. It's like an adult relationship. I think you're thinking of it more like a child to a father as opposed to like a 24-year-old like Josh is to his father. Like, Josh might legitimately think his 40-something-year-old father is his best friend. And Brian Daboll is probably about his father's age. So, initially, I say you do not want to be your child's best friend, because then they won't listen to you, because you don't have to listen to your friends. But I think once you're grown up and you're an adult, it's okay.
So say we're best friends. I'm like, oh, Nate's my best friend. And you're like, oh, I consider Mike my son. You think that's good? John, weigh in.
Well, we're the same age, too. So like that would be
a little different. You're the same age.
Well, but okay. So here's a similarity between Mike and me being the same age. If I'm like, oh, Mike's my best friend. And Mike's like, oh, he's like a little brother to me. Like, hey, wait a minute. It's kind of... All right. That's cool, man. I just thought, yeah. I did not hear that. That's interesting. What'd you guys think of the announcers today? Schlereth and the other guy. Stink.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, like, the last 10 minutes of the game, all they were talking about was Bills Mafia smashing tables and, like, stores being sold out of tables. I mean... That's not really the basis for Bills Mafia, right?
I love how there's legitimately like probably like 100 fans that have done that. And then like all one or however many millions of us are established by those 100 fans that have done it. It's kind of funny. I mean, I don't hide from it, but it's just funny.
There's a guy at work. He's like, you guys are going to the Super Bowl. You're going to go through a table, right? I'm like, no.
You're like, I already, like, my back already hurts just from sleeping on it the wrong way. Do you think I want to jump on top of a table?
Yeah. Well, he's a Raiders fan, so I don't know.
Be like, well, he's a Raiders fan. Be like, well, if the Raiders finally win it, are you going to dress like you're going to, like, I don't know, Rocky Horror Picture, whatever they do, like where they dress all black, like they're in the black hole, they have shoulder pads with spikes on it. Are you going to, you know, join a motorcycle gang or whatever? Like, you're going to pretend like you're in the black hole? Is that all Raiders fans are? Like, that's such a dumb stereotype. What do you think of the nickname Stink?
It's only marginally better than Stench.
It's an interesting nickname. It's like one that like continued. And I've heard him say that like on Mike and Mike when he was on the radio. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's his name. Playfully call him Stink. And then he's on the TV and they're doing the same thing. I'm like, okay.
That's better than third and pole.
Slightly better. He could be what, Mike?
It depends what stinks, I guess, right? It could be anything.
He's like, yeah, you know, what did you think of that play, Wet Garbage? Or stuff that gets caught in my sink strainer? Trying to think of other smelly things without getting too...
Halitosis?
Halitosis. You know what? I have a friend that has halitosis. And I don't think he knows. Like, how do you tell someone that? How do you tell someone? Like, if I mean,
wait, is it me?
I was just gonna say, like, would you guys tell me if I had stinky breath? Like, would you tell me? Like, that's like a thing that like a really good friend does, right? You guys gotta tell me if that's the case. Tell me offline. I don't want to know now. Tell me,
right?
Or use a chat box. All right, so. Wall of shame. I'm going to put, the refs on some stupid calls tonight. I'm going to say that Matt Milano roughing the passer penalty was just ridiculous. I thought he did a great job on, John just put in the chat window sometimes. Okay. Well, that's good to know. That's fair. Sometimes I wonder if I have bad breath and I speak too loud, like, hi, John. So that Matt Milano roughing the passer penalty was pretty ridiculous. There was nothing else. Matt Milano was not only blocked into the quarterback, or he was chipped, so he had to go low, but like he did as much as you can possibly do without trying to hurt him. He like cradled his legs. He cradled Drew Locke's legs ever so gently and laid him down on the ground as well as he could without like twisting a knee or going straight into the kneecap. So I thought that was ridiculous. But really, I mean, it was hard to find a lot of wall of shamers in today's win. And that was a wall of fame and wall of shame brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Now let's read some of our Twitter comments. Thank you guys all for writing into us. If you're not following us, please do at @CTWPod. And after every game, I say, you know, the Bills win or lose, who or what is on your wall of fame or wall of shame in today's win or loss? And you guys never seem to disappoint. Bills Mafia 315 writes, wall of fame, gotta say Steph Diggs tonight, number one wide receiver in the league. Wall of shame, silly penalties, especially in the red zone. The Gettysburg is the Kumaro touchdown. Been too long since the Bills had a QB that can make that throw. Only one thing left to do, and he puts in the picture of a guy. I don't know what this is from. Bills Mafia 315. I should definitely know what movie this is from, but this guy says, win the whole effing thing.
What's the guy look like?
Hold on, I'll share my screen.
Just describe it.
He's a guy that has short hair. Like, what? You...
Well, pretend you're witnessing a crime. That's what you'd say.
Can you see it? Can you see it now? Can you see him?
No.
Here, this is him. That guy. Oh, he's from Major League. Of course. So, yeah, I knew I would eventually. You guys weren't any help, but I'm glad I could figure that out.
I've never seen that guy in my life.
Famous actor, Academy Award winning actor. You never seen him? RTG Marley writes, first off, love the podcast, man. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much, RTG Marley. He wrote us last week. He was like, I'm in the gym working out, listening to Circling the Wagons podcast, man. Appreciate that. Wall of Fame, the entire organization, top to bottom. Words can't explain how proud of this team I am. Got to give a special shout out to Josh Allen, JA17, our franchise quarterback. Wall of shame, the refs once again did everything they could to help Denver. By the way, I didn't mention this on that Matt Milano roughing the passer call, is they took about 10 minutes to talk about that. Roughly, if I was to time it, roughly 10 minutes to discuss whether that was a penalty. And then eventually he dropped a flag. Have any of you ever seen a play like that where they just talked about it for 10 minutes and then dropped a flag? Maybe like the only time I've ever thought about that is like intentional grounding. That's the only time I've seen that. And then you have to think, well, was the guy outside the pocket? Did he throw past the line of scrimmage? Like all these things. With here, it was just like, it reminded me of last year's Houston Texans game where those refs in the black shirts came out of nowhere and they're just like, hey, by the way, the Bills are winning. We can't let them have this play.
I was going to respond to the Texans comment, kind of had me at pause because I didn't want to think about that one. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, if there's like three penalties on the play, you'll see a huddle, right? And it'll take a while. But
what's crazy about that is I have it in my head that these guys are actually like, okay, what's the spread on the game? It's 5.5 points. Okay, so the Bills are up. They're gonna destroy the spread. We cannot have this happen. The Vegas bookmakers will not allow it. We have to call this penalty. At least that's what I have in my head as a cynical Bills fan. Steve Tharp writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen playing lights out again, and Stephon Diggs bringing it every week consistently all season. The defense is getting better every week, with the exception of our coverage of opposing tight ends. Wall of Shame, the red zone penalties are out of hand and have to get fixed. Absolutely, Steve. Andrew Ensing writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, 4,000 passing yards. Wall of Shame, Andre Roberts, hate to do it, but there wasn't much else. Yeah, it's tough to find a Wall of Shame. Henry Booth writes, Wall of Fame, the whole team, especially Hughes, looking like a running back, running that touchdown back. Wall of Shame, none. The Bills are AFC East champs. Let the celebration begin. J-F-E-D-K-I-W writes, J-Fed-Q? Wall of Fame, the offense. Wall of Shame, Nick Wright. Yeah, Nick Wright. Big R writes, Wall of Fame. By the way, Big R did mention to me over Twitter that it's more of an ironic name because someone, one of his good friends, has the same exact name as him. So he's like normal size, and so they just called him Big R kind of ironically. So I like that. I like, I'm going to continue to call you Big R because I love that nickname. He writes, Wall of Fame. It's like calling Cole Beasley, like Big Cole, right? Wall of Fame, Josh. He's the reason for the season. Another 300-yard game. Ho, 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 hum. Wall of Shame, no one. First AFC East title since Windows 95. Gettysburg, he said halftime. The Bills realized Denver only scored because of fluky turnovers and bad roughing the passer call and decided to, he writes, step foot to neck. Jamie McAndrew writes, Wall of Fame, McDermott, the mastermind, to end the drought and the defense, as at one stage, I thought luck was crying on the field. I didn't see that. That's funny. Wall of Shame, the refs. As Alan put it, how many times do we have to score? Sweet Sassy Molassy play of the game, he writes. Oh, geez, we're getting some Sweet Sassy Molassy plays of the game. The Kumaro touchdown. The Gettysburg play of the game, Jerry Hughes carrying the ball like he played rugby for Fiji for TAF. I don't know my rugby terms as well, so I'm going to leave it to you, Jamie. I trust that you are 100% knowledgeable in that. Rick Riballo writes, everyone in this organization has worked their ass off to get us to this point. Thank you, one Bills drive. Not really a Wall of Shame or Wall of Famer, but well put, Rick. Absolutely. Dave Thorpe writes, Wall of Fame, AFC East champions 2020, every damn one of those players and staff. Wall of Shame, the red zone penalties, scoring 35 touchdowns, but only having 6 count. I wrote that on Twitter. I was like, the Bills have scored roughly 23 penalties, have scored roughly 23 touchdowns, and only 5 of them have counted. Gettysburg, he writes, we didn't need one, but give Hughes credit for that fumble return for a touchdown. Go Bills. And he also wrote, crap, forgot I wanted to put the penalty that wiped out the Singletary touchdown off the Allen Statue of Liberty trick play. On the Wall of Shame. Yeah. The penalty was, I believe it was Ike Butker, the holding penalty. That would have been the highlight reel. That would have been on the highlight reels all week. It would have been. Thanks a lot, Ike Butker. Matt Jones writes, Wall of Fame, Buffalo Bills, Wall of Shame, no, none. Today they all get credit for making the division championship possible. Go Bills. Obnoxious Ram writes, you didn't do one for Sunday's game. Wall of Fame, Allen, Diggs, Hughes, Allen. Secondary, Bees, Bass, Singletary, and Moss. It's like everyone. Wall of Shame, Roberts, red zone offense, and lack of discipline. Andrew Gnake writes, Wall of Fame, Bills defense / offense. I think at one point in the second, they only let 3 receptions to receivers. Wall of Shame, penalties and injuries. What happens to Diggs, Williams, White, Epinesa, etc.? Well, we're going to have to wait and see, but it looked like I'm really curious about Stephon Diggs' injury as he was carted off. Trey White was on the press conference, so I'm curious to see how they're all going to be doing. It looked like he had a stinger, so hopefully he's fine. AJ Tharp writes, Wall of Fame, our defense is finally getting hot, and Josh Allen. He overcame a first and goal at the 30 for a touchdown. Wall of Shame, injuries late in the game and red zone penalties that made Allen overcome a first and goal at the 30. Regardless, AFC East champions. And there is no official Gettysburg of the game, but the best defensive play was clearly that Trey Sack Hughes touchdown. Private Joker 2003 writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen had a laid-back, Patrick Mahomes-like 300-yard, 4-touchdown game. The Bills even gave up some penalty yards to make it more interesting for him. Wall of Shame, I guess Andre Roberts. No Gettysburg of the game. This was Operation Desert Storm. Nice. B. Mormon 2020 writes, Wall of Fame, everything. Wall of Shame, the Bills won. The Bills won, not done division winner t-shirts. They look dumb. Hat's pretty cool, though. The Bills won, not done division winner t-shirts. I haven't seen those. I wonder if that's at the Bills site, buffalobills.com. By the way, speaking of that, like I mentioned, we have we have three new shirts on. We have one for Big Baller Bean up there. We have Kings, King of the East, Buffalo King of the East, Divisional Champs t-shirts up there. And we have the checklist that I mentioned earlier. So go to tpublic.com/stores/ctwpod. That's tpublic.com/stores/ctwpod. Emmett21 writes, J.A. Wall of Fame, J.A. 17 had a night. Would have been even better without all those goddamn penalties. Defense played phenomenally. Wall of Shame, way too many penalties, especially in the red zone. AFC East champs, baby, great team win. Does AFC East champs merch exist? I genuinely don't know. It's a good question. I'm sure it's out there somewhere, but with some restrictions, we can't really say AFC East on ours, but should check it out. I bet you they are available. But just go to TeePublic and just find something there. Robert Zach writes, Wall of Fame, Allen, Diggs, Beasley, the entire defense, and that amazing Statue of Liberty call, even if it didn't count. Wall of Shame, red zone penalties in the fourth quarter injuries. Ah, injuries, such a good one. Jeez. Christopher Allegret writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen threaded the needle many times today. Wall of Shame, dropped picks. Gotta catch them. Come playoffs. I was 7 years old the last time we won. Living in Pat's Nation, it's been a long 25 years. Wow. You are true. Whenever I hear about Bills fans living in like Massachusetts or New England or Boston, I always think of that scene from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade when they're talking about going into Nazi Germany and getting the grail, right? Or the journal. And he's like, you want to go into Berlin? Into the lion's den? I think of that for some reason. The Bills God writes, Wall of Fame, high school all-county running back Jerry Hughes with the big stutter steps on his way to the end zone after the fumble recovery. Josh Allen cementing his name in the MVP race with a stat sheet that would make 2015 Cam Newton weep. Diggs for being a God-tier receiver. Wall of Shame, Roberts with the muff. If that didn't happen, we would have won by at least 36 points and not a measly 29. Hashtag sarcasm. Josh Allen's Stan account writes, Wall of Fame, the whole team, zero flaw, came out and beat up on the Broncos. Zero flaws. Wall of Shame, refs with some shady calls in the red zone and took away an awesome play from Josh. Jason Statham writes, Wall of Fame, Sean McDermott, the man with a little help, has led us to AFC Championship, three playoff seasons in four years. Bravo. Wall of Shame, the refs, nearly 1 minute to throw a flag. Come on, get a grip, you idiots. Woo, Super Saturday. And he said, I did mean AFC East, LOL. That's funny. It is, dude, Wall of Fame, games on Saturday nights instead of Sunday nights. We don't have to work tomorrow. This feels great. I love that it's on a Saturday, to be honest. Rob Galise writes, Wall of Fame, Allen, Diggs, the offense, the defense, and oh yes, third and Cole. Nice, Rob. Wall of Shame, Schlereth talking about how Drew Lock looked good getting sacked. Mark Schlereth, who was a career-long Bronco, I believe, or at least he was for most of his career. I think he was with the Redskins too, but you knew he was going to talk up the Redskins. How can we never get any former Buffalo Bills analysts? Are there none out there? We need more James Lofton. We need more of those guys. He writes, Gettysburg, I am tempted to say opening kickoff, but let's go with Josh Allen's first long TD run. Yeah, that touchdown run. It was like a 22-yard touchdown run. Josh Allen did not even get touched. Devin Brown writes in, Wall of Fame to Josh, the first Bills QB to throw for 4,000 yards since Drew Bledsoe. Wall of Shame to the sloppy penalties. Absolutely. M writes, Wall of Fame, hard to pick any one person because of the blowout. Wall of Shame, the refs for all those called back touchdowns, even if they were justified, LOL. Oh, and COVID, because I wanted to be there. Yeah, lots of people from the Colorado Bills backers bar were messaging me saying they had tickets. That sucks. Sucks that you guys weren't able to go see it in person. Actually living up there, too. Jaden Wolf writes, Wall of Fame, the offensive line and Diggs bullied the Broncos D-line. Absolutely. There were lots of time where Allen had just had plenty of time to pass today. Wall of Shame, the refs for taking three touchdowns away. Even though they might have been somewhat justified, Jaden, it was hard to tell. We didn't see any replays of any of those penalties, it didn't seem. Megatron writes, she says, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, Diggs, and Sean McDermott, she writes in caps. I don't have a Wall of Shame this week. Decent game from all of the team. Rob S, hashtag Bills by a Billion, writes, Wall of Fame, Diggs. Absolute beast, franchise record breaker in first season with the team, and Josh Allen, also breaking records. Wall of Shame, team discipline. The penalties were ridiculous. Against better opposition, it could cost us the game. First and goal from the 31, come on, man. That's a good point. Those penalties, and that doesn't fly against really good teams. Richard W. Griswold writes, I think of Clark Griswold because of your name, Richard, because it's that time of the year. Clark W. Griswold, too, wasn't it? Anyway, Richard W. Griswold writes, Wall of Fame, Allen, Diggs, Beasley, Hughes. Wall of Shame, refs from the NFL official verse. Bills Blitzkrieg writes, and I'm going to write this, even though he retracts it afterwards. He writes, Wall of Fame, Kumro, one catch, one touchdown, beautiful football play. Wall of Shame, Singletary. He'll need to up his game for a possible snow game come playoff time. 2.4 yards per carry. Won't get it done. And then he writes after, because he said, I retract this tweet. Please don't read it. That's because I tweeted this out before the Bills actually won the game officially, and then Singletary had the 51-yard touchdown. So it was a slightly more than 2.4 yards per carry, but good point by Bills Blitzkrieg. Besides that broken play, Singletary had a rough time going on the ground, especially when Moss was over 6 yards per carry. Joe Forrest writes, Wall of Fame, the whole entire organization from top to bottom. I've been waiting 25 years to say the Buffalo Bills are division champs again. Wall of Shame, the announcers suck and referees suck too. Gettysburg play, Jerry Hughes, touchdown. That's awesome. Alex Jones writes, I hope it's not too late, but Wall of Fame, everyone besides one. We are kings of the AFC East. Wall of Fame, Andre Roberts. I think he means Wall of Shame, Andre Roberts. Gettysburg, the Trey White sack fumble, and Jerry Hughes touchdown. Yep, he did correct himself. Wall of Shame, Andre Roberts. Drew Hesht writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen doing MVP things. Diggs always catching the ball. Defense, especially Hughes. Wall of Shame, the refs and those atrocious red zone penalties. Got to clean it up for better teams. Dave writes, Buffalo at Buffalo underscore RF. Wall of Fame, the future MVP Josh Allen, and really the whole team. Just a solid game from all sides. Wall of Shame, people who don't like third and Cole. Cough, John, cough. He also writes, John and Mike have
How come you can't dislike a tweet? How come it's only likes or retweets?
Would you dislike that tweet, John?
Yeah, I already texted him about that.
Oh, did you text him? Okay. P.S. John and Mike don't know what they're talking about when it comes to third and Cole. Lucas Smith writes, Wall of Fame, number one wide receiver, Jake Kumerow. People are high on Jake Kumerow. That's awesome. Salvador Espinoza writes, Wall of Fame, the entire franchise for going from a laughingstock to a legit Super Bowl contender. Wall of Shame, the red zone penalties and injuries. Honorable mention, the refs. Travis Kuhn writes, Wall of Fame, Allen, Diggs, Jerry, Singletary, everyone, really. Wall of Shame, the refs. But other than that, the Bills win the East for the first time in my life. Philip Masterson writes, I can't do Wall of Shame today. Call it a cop-out, but Wall of Fame to Bean, McDermott, Allen, and the entire Bills organization for delivering the first AFC title in my lifetime. Go freaking Bills. I love that. Thank you, Philip. That might be my sign-off for today. I got to read this one. Hot in AZ writes, game, he must mean Wall of Fame. Wall of Fame is Josh Allen and / Diggs. Wall of Shame is Drew Locke. He sucks. Normally, I wouldn't read that, but then Devin Brown writes, after this, he wrote, In reply to that, Drew Locke is the great value version of Josh Allen. That's awesome. Charles Bright writes, Wall of Fame, both sides of the ball. Wall of Shame, Andre Roberts, not a whole lot to choose from. Diego writes, only shame is the red zone penalties. We can't have that in the playoffs. Wall of Fame, the whole friggin' team. Hashtag go Bills. Kathleen writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, the offense and the defense. Wall of Shame, referees, stupid penalties, and the drop by Roberts. And Stiddy writes, Stiddy's going to end it for us. He writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, and the entire team. Wall of Shame, the refs for the charity calls. So thank you guys all so much for contributing to our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. So we are going to do a couple of giveaways real quick. Actually, Mike, why don't you do your odds for the game next week versus the New England Patriots, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago.
Do you guys want to take a stab?
So the Bills play on Monday night, right? In New England.
It's an 8:15 game, yes, December 28th.
Now the Patriots are what, 6-8 now or something? Or 6-7? I can't remember. Doesn't matter. The Bills are going to be...
They're 6-7 right now. They're playing the Dolphins in Miami tomorrow.
So the Bills are 11-3 going against the possible 6-8 or 7-7 Patriots.
Quite a dichotomy the last 2 weeks, right? Like the Pats lost to the Rams 24-3 on Thursday. Game before that, though, they beat up on the Chargers 45-0.
Yeah.
And before that, real close games. They beat the Cardinals, lost to the Texans, beat the Ravens.
I feel like Vegas bookmakers go by what the hype is surrounding any team, and they definitely have recency bias on what's going on. Seeing the Bills like just light up the Broncos and seeing the Patriots lose last, well, I mean, I guess we don't know how this game's going to go at this point when we're recording it. Recency, but I say the Bills are going to be favored by 4 points. John, what do you think? Bills are obviously going to be favored. It's just by how many. I think it'd normally be more than that, but since they're away, I think it'd be normally be like 6 or 7 points. Because they're away, I'm going to go 4.
I'm going to say Buffalo by 52.
So 4.5. John, Mike, what is it?
Some places it's 4, some places it's 4.5.
Okay, well, I was closer anyway. He's at 52. 4.5. Dude, can I make my case? If there are any Vegas bookmakers out there and they're looking for somebody to just like kind of moonlight as a Vegas bookmaker for Bills games only, those are the only games I ever know. I'm there. You can, I have a very cheap fee. I work on peanut butter and pizza. All right, so that was the odds for next week's game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Jeez, if you were to bet on that
game. But if you do, like, statistically, at just checking out 538, the win probability is 69% for the Bills. And they think the point spread should be 5.5. So I'm loving these primetime games and the success the Bills are having. And it looks to continue another week.
I'm glad that we put money on the Bills to win the Super Bowl back when the odds were probably the best. Because right now I have no idea what the odds are for the Bills to win the Super Bowl. I kind of want to know now. I think we did
they have the fourth best. Right now the Chiefs, 31%. Saints have 23%. Packers are at 12%. And then you've got the Bills at 10%.
So the Bills are at plus 1,200 to win the Super Bowl. When we bet, it was like plus 1,800. So like we got in. I mean, the it's like 30%. Worse odds, or well, 30% better for the odds for the Bills to win. Just the payout is less than what we did. We did in like week 5 or 6 or something like that. Or when we were looking at it, we were thinking about making a move. So now if you did it, you would, for $100, you would win, 1200, right? Is that how that works? Yes. Yes. So cool. So we're going to do, some giveaways. We have a couple of Harrison Phillips signed jerseys, and we also have some DraftKings Sportsbook swag. from the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. They have some, I think they have one more polo shirt, and then they have some regular t-shirts and some snapback hats. So I'm going to list three winners. If you're wondering how you can win some of the weekly giveaways that we give every week in our podcast, just leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, listing CTW Pod, Circling the Wagons, somewhere in the description so we know that you're doing it for the giveaway and that you listen to this podcast. There are lots of you guys that are listening right now and that aren't part of this giveaway system. We've been doing this since last season, and you have a chance to win a signed Bills jersey. You should absolutely do this, and I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't know what else I can do to get you to leave a five-star review, except the people that are winning. Some people are winning multiple times, like our good friend Ryan in Hawaii. His wife just won a Harrison Phillips signed helmet, Chelsea. So, like, they're just cleaning up over in Hawaii over there. I wonder if there's even any COVID in Hawaii. There probably is. It's probably everywhere.
Have you tried shipping it yet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've shipped it. Yeah, that's fun. But Ryan and his wife were also the same ones that sent us a care package last year, like right before it hit. And like they sent like some Hawaiian macadamia nuts, and they had like these honey glazed macadamia. Oh, they're so good. And you guys didn't see any of it because I couldn't talk to you guys.
I was going to say, I definitely don't remember that.
They gave me this, they gave us this this bottle opener that was like a hula dancer, not a hula, yeah. And that I use, it's on my refrigerator right now. And yeah, they wrote this really nice letter. I read it last season when this happened, but couldn't have happened to better people. So happy that you guys won. And the three winners of this week are Reed and Mama 4 again, which I believe, no, I don't actually know who that is. Reed and Mama 4. She won before, but I don't think she claimed it. So at Reed and Mama 4, Joey Hanover is a second winner, Joey Hanover. And the third winner is Capello Mafia 80. That's maybe it's Capello. Capello Mafia 80. Cappello Mafia 80. So the three of you guys have won. The first person to get back to me after listening to this, either message me over Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can follow us all on there. Message us that way or email us ctwpod@gmail.com. Email us there and let us know that you're the winner. If you get to us first, you get to choose between the two Harrison Phillips signed jerseys or DraftKings Sportsbook swag, courtesy of the nice folks over at the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Let us know and get your choice first. So thank you guys all for listening. I think we're going to wrap it up now. So signing off for John.
Hey, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? I mean, realistically, the Bills, I think, should make it to the AFC Championship game. After that, who knows? But I think that is the target at this point. One thing I want to say is that I haven't seen enthusiasm from the Bills players and like just like on the sidelines since the 90s. You know, going back to the 80s, I mean, Buffalo's got the spirit, talking proud. Let's go, Bills.
And for Mike?
What a time to be alive. It's awesome to be a Bills fan.
Yeah. And for me, Nate, go Bills. Everything else in this year has sucked except for the Buffalo Bills. Go freaking Bills, AFC East champs. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, mate.
Hey, thanks for letting me do the joke, asshole.
Whoops.
No, forget it. No, I'll save it for next week. No, whatever.